Jesus is the light of the world, and his job is to illuminate you and to let you see the supernatural in the natural.
Dr. Tony Evans says seeing the light is about much more than just information.
It is your identification with Jesus that brings illumination, not merely the fact you believe in God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative.
I would like to say to all of our friends on behalf of our whole ministry, a very, very Merry Christmas. As you enjoyed food, fellowship, family, and friends, make the most of this time to be reminded about the real meaning of Christmas, and that is God become man so that men could connect with God. That's really what Christmas is all about. So have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's what today's message is all about, too. So let's join Dr. Evans as he shares some encouraging truth about the way Jesus lights up our lives.
Light gives you the ability to identify reality. Light helps you to see things as they really are. Of course, the opposite to light is darkness. That is, you are unable to see. The people who missed Christmas did so because they couldn't see. They were blind spiritually. You and I are living in a world that's blind spiritually. But Jesus is the light of the world, which means the clearer you see Jesus, the clearer you see everything else. So let's look at these four illuminating scenarios. And let's learn some principles from our own lives as we move from Christmas into the new year. The first person I want to identify who got illumination is Mary, Jesus' mother. In Luke chapter 1, an angel comes to Mary. He tells her that you found favor with God in verse 30. He goes on to say that you will conceive in verse 31 in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, when this angel shows up, she is, we're told in verse 29, perplexed. She's confused. We're told that she is pondering. She's trying to figure out what's going on here. What the angel has told her does not make biological sense. It sounds a little bit ridiculous. Mary, you found favor with God, and you are going to bear a son. So Mary says, how can this be in verse 34? Because I am a virgin. So what you just said God's going to do can't happen. I've never been intimate with a man. It's not normal. It's not natural, and it's illogical. An angel is telling her this. He is telling her that God has a supernatural plan, Mary, for your life. She figures, how can this be? It is a natural question in the natural. The point I want to point out as we go along here is, if you only live your life in the natural, something that fits your box, something that fits your education, your knowledge, your experience, then you will not get all that God has for you. The angel gives her a word, an illuminating word, and it is found in verse 37 of chapter 1. For nothing will be impossible with God. Oh, that's a Christmas message right there. That the virgin birth of Jesus Christ led to Mary hearing the statement that what does not seem possible in the natural, because you're a virgin, is not to be ascribed to God. Ascribe it to your mama and your daddy, your brother and your sister, and the other peeps in your circle. But when God decides to do something, the supernatural transcends the natural. Don't limit God to your five senses, to what you can see and touch and taste and hear and smell. Don't limit God to what you can figure out, because he is the unfigureoutable God. The illuminating message of Christmas is that nothing is impossible, although it looks impossible. So my challenge to you this Christmas is to be like Mary and embrace what you do not understand. To seek God's favor, to ask questions. She had questions. She couldn't figure this out. She's not condemned for asking questions. It's okay to question God for the sake of belief, not for the sake of unbelief. There's a second group that are affected by Christmas. The shepherds. The shepherds. We read in chapter 2, in verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. They were scared. They'd never seen this before. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold," somebody say behold. They are scared at what they're seeing. This is not normal. Something has come from heaven that has shaken their world. But the angel says, "Do not be afraid, behold." In other words, change what you're looking at if you want to overcome your fear. There's a lot to be afraid of today, a lot of things that we do not understand, but he says at Christmas, behold, change what you're looking at. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For the day in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So let me suggest something to you. The more afraid you are of something in your life, the more you need to focus on Jesus. They were afraid. The angel says, behold, look at Jesus. Because the more you concentrate on Jesus, the easier it is to overcome what's scaring you. The focus on Jesus, he says, will overcome the insecurity that you are afraid of at this moment. He tells them, there will be a sign for you. There will be a sign for you. That sign, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, there's a lot more to that statement than you might initially recognize. These shepherds oversaw the lambs that would be offered in sacrifice. The priests would take the lambs and they would provide the lambs for the sacrifices. The shepherds would raise the lambs that would be offered in sacrifices. The Bible makes it clear that when you offered a lamb in sacrifice, it had to be without spot or blemish. In other words, there could be no flaws on the lamb that was to be offered to God in sacrifice. Well, the way that the shepherds would keep the lambs from not being spotted, not falling over and getting cut or tripped, is they would take the lambs and they would wrap them in cloth. The King James Version, I believe, calls it swaddling clothes. They would swaddle the clothes. I got to see this in real time with one of my, when my great-grandchildren were born, and their mother, my granddaughter, would wrap them from top to bottom except their face, and she would wrap them all the way down to their feet. And it became a way of them being oversaw and overseen. I don't know where she got that from. I had never seen that before like that. But they were totally wrapped as she laid them down. They would wrap the lamb because the lambs, of course, would be moving about and could easily get a spot or blemish. So to keep that from happening, they would wrap them because they were there for an offering, because those were the only kind of lambs that you could offer to the Lord. So when the angel tells the shepherds, you will find a child wrapped in cloth, that was not just a wrapping of a baby, that was wrapping of a lamb. And the purpose of wrapping the lamb was to offer a perfect sacrifice. So when they say that you will find this sign, it would be a sign of what they did with their physical lambs being applied to the Lamb of God. So they would be connecting it to the purpose of sacrifice. And the reason that that connection is there is because this baby was meant for sacrifice. For he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so it is illumination. It is seeing things more deeply, and they got to see it.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell us more about the dual nature of Jesus and the detailed prophecies he fulfilled through his life and ministry. First, though, I want to encourage you to check out our brand new CD collection, The Best of Tony Evans 2019. As I mentioned earlier, all 20 CD messages in this collection, including 10 digital downloads, are our gift to you when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station and launch into 2020 without having to cut back on our radio outreach and other ministries. In fact, we have opportunities to expand into Israel, Taiwan, Africa, and beyond in the coming year, and we can only do that with your help. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about why we're so grateful for your support.
Paul regularly thanked those who came alongside of him, who undergirded him with their generosity for the ministry God had called him to do. Well, we are doing the same. We praise our God for the friends that he's raised up who not only are blessed and benefit from the ministry, but who help sustain it through their generous financial contributions. So we thank God for you. If you're not one of those who come alongside yet, would you consider this being a great time to start? Why? Because as we close out the year, we want to end the year in the black and start the new year strong, but it takes friends and generosity to do that. We want to thank God for you because you have been used of God to keep us going. You are the wind beneath our wings. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generous year and contributions. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our hearts are grateful for your generosity.
Right now, every dollar you donate will effectively be doubled thanks to a $230,000 challenge grant from a generous donor, but only if we hear from you by next Tuesday. So please visit us at tonyevans.org and let us know we can count on your help. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so don't wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. And now let's get back to today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
The third group that I want to talk about, we introduced to Simeon in chapter 2, verse 25. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, that is the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So here is a man looking for Jesus, anticipating Jesus, waiting on Jesus, and living a righteous life. See, many of us don't find Jesus because we're not looking for him. But he was looking for the consolation. Mary and Joseph, on the eighth day, bring Jesus into the temple for circumcision. And the Spirit of God comes on him. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. Now watch this. He's looking for Jesus. He's living a righteous life. He needs consolation. And the Spirit leads him into the temple. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to steer you to where God wants you next. But if you're not looking for Jesus, and if you're not seeking to live a righteous life, then the Holy Spirit won't be able to lead you, and even if he's trying to, you won't hear his voice. But because he was looking for Jesus, living a righteous life, the Holy Spirit could guide him into the temple. And when the Holy Spirit guides him into the temple, when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry him out for the custom of the law, that is for circumcision, then he took him into his arms, baby Jesus, and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen," verse 30, "your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The first thing he says is, "I'm ready to die now." He says, "I'm ready to go. I have seen Jesus and I'm ready to go." I have been on numerous scenarios of people passing from time into eternity who were in love with the Lord and who got a vision of Jesus in the transition. Verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed.' So I now must give you the downside, the negative side of Jesus, if you want to discover him. Jesus will create conflict. The rise and fall of many. Even not only conflict without, but conflict with you. Because he says, he will be a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce, verse 35, your own soul. Now, those who've been walking with Jesus for a while understand this. First of all, he will bring you into conflict without. You will not have trouble because you believe in God. You will not have trouble because you talk about God. Jesus is the problem. Jesus is what will bring you into conflict. The reason folk want to stop saying Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays is because of Jesus. The reason people want to move nativity scenes is because of Jesus. Jesus will bring you into conflict without. And if you're going to experience the light and the illumination, you must be willing to identify with Jesus, not just believe in God. God has placed everything in his Son. Jesus says, "If you deny me, I will deny you before my Father. If you accept me, I will validate you before my Father." It is your identification with Jesus that brings illumination, not merely the fact you believe in God. Believing in God is safe and undefined, because you could be talking about any number of gods. But we're talking about the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the specific God to whom we are referring. And so Jesus is going to create conflict, but he will not only create conflict without, he will create conflict within. In other words, you're going to have to go against you. If you've been saved for a while, you know what it is to have to say no to you to say yes to Jesus, because you are in conflict with you. Where the flesh wants to go over here and Jesus says, no, you go over there, and you're battling the war the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5, the battle that Paul had in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things I don't want to do are the things I do, and the things I do are the things I don't want to do, because I'm in this battle. Because you will have a battle with you to choose Jesus. But what you will get is illumination. And finally, the wise men. That's in Matthew 1. Now, the wise men are technically not Christmas. All these nativity scenes, where you see the wise men around the manger, are biblically incorrect. The wise men were not at the manger, and they were not at the nativity, and they weren't on the scene. Chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 11, and coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They saw the child in the house. They didn't see the baby in the manger. And the Greek word for child means toddler. So this baby's over 1 year old, heading toward 2. So watch this. They saw the star when he was born. They don't get there until he's close to 2 years old. Because they're traveling from the east on camels and donkeys and horses. So that you can't take that trip in a week. This is not a 747. We're talking months and months and months. And when they finally arrived, they said, we have come to worship him. You mean to tell me you're willing to take a year and a half to get to Jesus Christ because he's worth that inconvenience? And some folk aren't willing to drive 20 minutes to get to Jesus. But they decide Jesus is worthy of my inconvenience and my worship. And when they decided that, the concluding verse in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, the king says, tell the wise men to come back. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. You see, God speaks to dreams to people who pay attention. He lets you see things that you didn't see before, warn you about people trying to hurt you, take you away from situations that were gonna mess over you. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and his job is to illuminate you and to let you see the supernatural in the natural.
Dr. Evans will come back with a closing thought in just a moment, so don't go away. First, though, don't miss your chance to request our featured CD collection for the holiday season, The Best of Tony Evans 2019. Remember, for a short time longer, we're making it available as our thank you gift for your year-end contribution toward the ministry of the Urban Alternative. We only have a few more days to make up for a deficit left over from last summer and end the year in the black. And even with that challenge grant we told you about earlier, we can only do it with your help. We're counting on you to help us end 2019 without having to cut back on stations and continue to take advantage of ministry opportunities God has in store for 2020. Visit us today at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements or call 1-800-800-3222. Either way, we'll send you the Best of Tony Evans 2019 as our thank you gift. When life gets thorny, many times our only instinct is to do whatever it takes to get things back to normal. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that God just might have something bigger in mind. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with a final thought to consider as you celebrate today.
So I challenge you this Christmas to let Jesus be your light in your world and illuminate your understanding so that you see things you've never seen before. Because he lets you see everything as he shines his light on your life.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.